Welcome to another episode of The Blue Crew featuring me, your host, Johnny Lazarus, and my two co-hosts, Cody Frankel and Avery Zaretsky. We have so much to jam-pack this week, okay? Great, great win against the Devils. My good friend Avery Zaretsky is dying to tell us about how Jack Hughes stinks. So here we go. Off to you, Avery.
I expected better, but not bad, Cody. I expected better, but
it's solid. It was, yeah, I would give that like a 7-1. It had like a weird tonality to it, but I thought otherwise it was pretty good.
It seemed like he was reading. Right?
Yeah, it sounded like you had a script.
Yeah. Script. All right. Want to run about?
No, you get one shot.
Nah.
Welcome to another episode of The Blue Crew. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus. Big guy now that I've been to the CCM hockey event, okay? And I'm with my two co-hosts, Cody Frankel, Avery Zaretsky. We're going to get into a lot this week. I just pulled off the side of my freaking road with my car to talk to Frank Saravelli. It was awesome. Okay, here we go. Let's do it. Fuck the Devils. Avery, off to you, buddy.
All right, let's actually start though. Avery, what do you got?
No, I'm excited
to
be here.
Is that like an 8-5 at least?
I think that one was worse. But let's just go into it.
What? Yeah,
let's go
into it.
I liked your tone better than that one. But regardless, the New York Rangers proved that they are still hot after a week off. They look fantastic last night. I caught from the second period on, so I didn't see the first period. I was out with the four play boys. They actually hit me up. They hit me up. They were in Delray, so it was good to see them. Haven't seen them in a while.
Off the ledge,
dude. Frankie, if you go on my story, I should post it to Twitter too. I think he posted it too. He went nuts.
A dinner, or nuts. Right?
We were at an Italian restaurant, and obviously the Islanders hadn't won, and I think this was their first win in like 7 games, and they wanted a shootout, and he went berserk in this restaurant. It was really funny. But regardless, Ranger talk, New York Rangers, hot, staying hot. Igor's back. He looked a little shaky in the beginning. I watched the highlights. He wasn't like Igor, but he made those saves down the stretch. He made that one save on Jack Hughes. I saw that was insane with his stick. And then from then on, I thought the Rangers played great. I thought there were a couple defensive breakdowns that they had to clean up. But other than that, Panarin, unbelievable. I mean, that guy's insane. And then you got Jimmy Vesey coming out of nowhere, potting those 2 goals, huge for the Rangers.
Second goal, sick.
So sick.
Yeah.
But
so sick.
I want to say one thing just to like kind of set the tone for the episode. Like, win or lose, I hate the Ranger fans that say, like, it's just another 2 points. It's just another game in the schedule. Like, those games matter a lot. And I know the players probably go in and say, like, you know, it's another opponent, another chance to win a game, 2 points in the standings, divisional matchup. Like, these games, you can tell just by the way the players play, by the way the fans last night, that looked like it was 60-40 as far as Rangers-Devils fans go. There was a lot of Ranger fans in the Prudential Center last night, at least on TV. I wasn't there. But, you know, I think we talk about it a lot, whereas, like, if we lose that game, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. But when we win it, we shove it in the Devils fans' faces. But
I think it mattered if we lost. I think it would
matter. I actually wanted to plug in Jack Hughes' post-game comment. Jack said, you know, good teams win that game. And he said the Devils right now, they're not there yet. They're not a good team. But, like, he kind of credited the Rangers in that sense.
What have you seen from your team since you went down?
I think we're a good hockey team. We're in a rough stretch of hockey right now, including tonight. You know, that's a game really good teams win, you know, and we're not there right now. So that's something that we're going to have to get back to because we've done it before, and we just got to sharpen up, you know, from our top guys all the way to the bottom. We just got to just sharpen up.
And, you know, to his point, the Rangers continue to find ways to win those games. And I actually I'm going to plug another thing in too from our good friends, the Empty Netters Pod. They spoke about it on their last show. The Rangers had, 11 wins going into last night's game? Only 4 of those wins were against teams that were over 500. So that's a big win. Like, a lot of people might not give the Rangers the credit they deserve for the teams they've beaten, but they're now, 12-2-1 in the first 15 games. They're top of the Metro. Yes, sir. What are they in the league? They're probably third in the league right now.
+18, baby. No, they're second in the league.
Okay. They're well, I guess Vegas and Boston are tied for first, so the Rangers are second in that sense.
Well, yeah, but Vegas has 3 games in hand, bro. So
No, yeah, Vegas has three in hand, and Boston has one in hand.
Boston has a game in hand,
and Vancouver has three in hand also.
Yo, but also, to be fair, if you look at Boston's schedule, they haven't played, they've played one good team, like, all season. I mean, their schedule has been padded in with, I mean, I actually, they did play the Devils, and they beat the Devils, but they've, like, 10 of their games have been against, like, cake teams, so not to say they're not a good team.
Yeah, but I've also said this on the pod before, and it has to be noted, the fact that early in the season, they're not, you can't really say bad teams, because the bad teams don't know they're bad yet. They're still playing for something, right? So these games are still hard. Yeah. Like, they're, listen, every game in the National Hockey League is hard to win. But at the end of the day,
I think the Sharks know they're bad.
Well, yeah, that's probably the one team that's.
How do you let up 10 goals in back-to-back games? That's the craziest
thing. I get what you're saying, though, Avery. I understand what you're saying. But again, yeah. I get what they're saying as well. You know, if you want to, like, measure the schedule. But still, the Rangers right now, like, you can't ask for a better start to the season. Panarin now sets a franchise record, 15 straight games to start the year with points, 26 points in 15 games. Guys, unbelievable, man.
So, I agreed. And I do want to say something. So, yesterday's game, I thought the first period was a very one-sided period, even though it ended up being 2-2. I mean, I thought 18 out of those 20 minutes, we outplayed the Devils. I thought the second was obviously a lot more level-headed, and you know, I would say they slightly outplayed us, but you want to talk about, like, setting this team up for success and, like, changing the tempo of the game. Can we talk about that Jacob Trouba hit? Yeah. I mean, that was, one, unreal, and then two.
Were there people complaining on Twitter that was dirty? Because I didn't really see a lot.
No, I mean, dude, the Lindgren hit, people were fucking complaining about. That was
pretty bad. I mean, I said this.
But
no, sorry. I was just going to say, I said this last pod, the same thing. Any Trouba hit, people are going to say stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that one, Noshik had his head just, like, totally buried.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, if you're on the tracks and Jacob Trouba's on the ice and you're looking down, like, what are you at this point? Like, what are you doing? So, I mean, it is what it is. But
also, should we talk about the Jack Hughes goal and how the refs, again? I mean, yeah. I want to say this, though. I want to phrase it this way, because if the Rangers had scored that goal, I would be pissed if the refs had blown that whistle. So I'm, like, almost happy in a sense that the Devils got the goal, because if it happened to us, I would have been livid. But again, what happened to the Rangers last week with Cooley, when they had intent to blow the whistle and they didn't blow the whistle and the puck was in the net, versus this time when they do blow the whistle and the puck's not in the net and then they call it a goal? Like, what are we doing here? We're just going in circles. It makes no sense.
Here's the thing, bro. Okay. If they scored yesterday, good, like, fine. Okay. They scored fine. They called it a goal, whatever. Stay fucking consistent. Yeah. Okay. You can't literally the week before screw up a call that bad, which was the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Intent to blow the whistle. Okay. What are you psychic? Like, weird. Anyways, and stop laughing at me.
Is this what I just said?
No, but you stole my rant, so now I'm fucking going on another. So, and now, like, you got to stay consistent in those situations. And the fact that they can't stay consistent is a real big problem in today's game. And they just did it with the Ducks, like, 2 days ago. That was, like, the worst thing I've ever seen, okay? And it's just not good. I mean, like, stay consistent. At this point in hockey, and I don't know if you guys agree, but I feel like there are a couple of rules, like this rule and then the goalie interference, like, they're so undefined and unclear. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge hockey fan. I don't know what they are. Like, I don't know what the teetering of the line is and, like, what the actual rules are, because the refs change it every fucking time. And it's like they're flipping a coin and just guessing. And it's really annoying as a fan personally.
Well, this call last night, it happens a lot. And actually the worst one ever, I don't know if you guys remember, 2017 Stanley Cup Final, Game 6, Preds Penguins. The Preds scored a goal. Like, the puck came loose on Matt Murray, and I forget which Predator poked it in after, but the whistle blew because the ref lost sight of the puck. But it was literally sitting in the crease for a Predator to tap it in, and they blew the play dead, and it didn't count.
On Pontus Auberg, puck stays in. Forsberg with a shot. Murray's got it. No, he doesn't, but the whistle is gone. The puck came loose, was poked in the net, but even in this building, you could hear the whistle went when the puck was outside of the crease.
And what a bad break for the Nashville Predators. Kevin Pollak getting the discussion, but you're right. It's just he lost sight. And it all starts from one turnover. Phil Kessel behind the net's got a chance to make a play. An errant pass creates one chance that Murray makes the right toe save. And this one just an absolute mistake. Murray doesn't quite have control of it. I'm sure Pollak on the he's on the left side of your screen there, so he thinks it's underneath, but clearly, guys, it's right there for the taking and tapped in to the wide open net. You can see his positioning. He's got his whistle up quickly, and what a terrible break for Nashville.
And you can hear the whistle, and there's nothing they can do.
But this play with Jack Hughes, basically the same exact play. Ref loses sight of the puck, blows the whistle, but the puck's sitting there right in the crease and rolling into the net. But then they call it a good goal. Just like I don't get, again, we talk about the inconsistency, but the Ducks one,
yeah,
that wasn't a rule. That was a wraparound goal that they said the puck didn't completely cross the line, but there were so many camera angles where it clearly showed the puck was over the line. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's not a rule. It's, that's just like a vision thing.
Yeah, it's annoying. And also it's like, I don't know if you guys agree with this, but are the people in Toronto just dumb? Like when they review those types of calls and they take so long, like what are they all of a sudden seeing that every single fan watching the actual game isn't seeing? I just don't
there
understand.
There has to be some sort of we track the pucks now. There has to be some sort of tracker for the goal line where if the puck crosses the line, you can just it just automatically goes off. There has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they have.
But
it.
Also, again, like.
They do it in football. They do it in football.
They have it in
like, no, they don't.
No, they don't do it in football.
No, yes, football, they bring out the chains.
No. Wait.
No, they do it. No, they do it in tennis. They do it in tennis and soccer. That's
tennis.
It.
What do they do in soccer? I saw a lot of people say that, but I don't know what they do.
It's called VAR. It's the same
dude,
concept.
That is literally football, boys. What are you talking
Cody, what
about?
Are you, they don't are do you, that in football. They literally they bring out chains.
Are you talking
football.
About, oh, God. He's calling soccer football.
No, I'm just fucking you guys. I was just fucking you guys.
No, but regardless, the NHL just has their brains in the wrong way. Like they're not thinking in the right mind right now. Like they're talking about how they want to fix NHL like the 3-on-3 with maybe like calling penalties if they rag the puck. Why do we care about that? I care more about if the puck goes across the goal line, it's a goal. If the ref blows the whistle, I get it. It's hard. Listen, I'm the number one supporter of the refs. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
But if the ref loses sight of the puck, it's a fast game. If the ref loses sight of the puck and blows the whistle, it's dead. The play's dead. You cannot be doing intent to blow the whistle things. That just can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, I will say that should not have been a goal if they blew the whistle.
If that happened to us, it's like, how the fuck did you blow the whistle there?
I understand, but there has to just be a clear cut rule, and there isn't right now. There's not. They don't understand. They put the headsets on, and they're like, we don't know what to do. That shouldn't happen in a professional. That can't happen in a professional sport. Yeah.
There is a clear cut rule. They just totally
ignored
it.
That's what I'm
saying.
Like,
whistle blows, plays dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. They got to figure
that
out.
We're definitely going to have a lot of fan questions. I wanted to bring up one more thing before we go into it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you guys a question. Mm-hmm. Last five games, I just tweeted it. Vincent Trocheck, 3 goals, 7 assists. Beep. First 10 games, 1 goal, 3 assists. We don't know what's going on with Filipetto yet. He still isn't skating. It doesn't look good just from everything that we've seen and heard.
He's such a bitch.
Okay.
Dude, no, he has... 4 concussions,
dude.
Serious.
He needs a thicker skull. I don't know what to tell you,
dude. He might be.
No, I'm kidding. It sucks.
Yeah, like it's.
I feel bad for the kid because he's so talented, dude. This is a classic Clint Frazier situation. Okay, the poor kid is very young, very promising, and just cannot get out of his own way from getting hurt. And it makes you wonder though, like it does.
Is there Clint Frazier the baseball player?
Yeah. Yeah. He was Yankees and he had chronic migraines from like getting so many concussions and and now he's like kind of out of the league. So
he's like a current player.
Yeah, yeah. He's like he's Hedl's age. They're the same age.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Maybe he's like 2 years older than Hedl. But he's 28. So it just makes you wonder, like, is it something about Hedl's awareness when he plays, or like his style, or the way he kind of conditions himself, that he keeps on time and time again getting hurt? I mean, outside of the five concussions, this is like, I think I saw something. This is like the 12th time he's been on literally the like injured list since the last 4 years. I think, like, that's concerning. That's really concerning.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. It sucks. Yeah. For his, you know, human aspect.
Yeah. It's
got a feel for the guy. Like, you know, totally. I mean, he's, even if he comes back, every time he gets hit, it's going to be scary, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Like, yeah, he, you know, Eric Lindros is a guy that comes to mind that had to end his career early mm-hmm. because of concussions and stuff. You know, it would suck to see Hedl, knock on wood, have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, just say hopefully he's back soon, healthy, and these things can be avoidable. But it's hockey, it's physical, and these things happen. And I don't think it's a way you play that gets you hurt. I mean, sometimes
that's not true.
But there are smaller guys that play a little bit over physical when they don't have to, and they can, you know, get themselves hurt and stuff. But I don't think that. What did he get hit? He got hit open ice by who? Someone on Carolina, right? It was him coming up the ice.
It was zone Aho, right? Was it not?
Yeah. No. Aho hit Fox.
Was it D'Angelo?
I forget who hit him, but
I don't know.
Regardless, Johnny, I think what you're trying to say is that there are players who are good at avoiding hits. Like, you look at Adam Fox, he's good at making plays to avoid hits.
Yeah.
But there are times where you just get caught in a bad spot. It doesn't mean you're a bad player based on the way you play. It's just kind of getting caught in a bad spot. And it's happened more than once to Hedl. He's been unlucky, and hopefully he's okay. I think that he's not going to be on the second line if or when he comes back.
No.
It's an unfortunate situation, but we'll see.
Yeah, and before we go into fan questions, Avery, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. So there's three players. There's one guy on the Rangers with 10 points. There's one guy on the Rangers with 14 points. And then there's one guy on the Rangers with more points combined than both of them at 26 points. And one of them was told to be killed.
Yeah.
You know, in a Buck Hill Mary, like, what do you think was going on through that person's head when he like,
I'll said, never live that one. Down, huh?
26
yeah,
points.
Yeah. I didn't really think, you know, we had to go into that one, but yeah, that was a really bad take by Mr. Jonathan over there. Really bad take. If you want to divulge to the audience who those players are, Cody, you can.
No. I think we'll keep them on their toes. All right, let's go into fan questions.
Johnny wanted to kill Panarin in a Mary fuck kill, guys.
But it was
Back. Just go to the fan questions.
Okay.
I want to hear what our fans have to say. One second. Come on.
Yo, why are you in the office right now, by the way?
I was watching some football. I also worked out this morning. And so I got the timing. I messed up the timing. I got out of bed. I worked out. And then I realized I had forgot my mic, and I didn't have time to go back home. So I just stayed here.
Nice. What'd you do?
We're now sponsored by Better. The podcast is sponsored by Better.
Hell yeah.
No, it's not.
You guys ready?
It should be.
All right, Drums All Day 757. Which hockey brand do you prefer for your equipment?
Ooh, Johnny's this is a good CCM one. I love the hockey questions not related to the Rangers. I'm gonna go. Well, Johnny's tied with CCM, but I'm gonna say
I do like CCM buckets. CCM,
I wear a CCM helmet. I hate to mix. I always like having the same stuff, but it's so different now. I think Bauer makes really good gloves. They've always made great gloves. The sticks have changed. The sticks have really changed. Like, I've gone from Easton to CCM to Bauer, and I had the Bauer agent, and I loved it. I got what's his name? Forget it. I'm blanking now. Johnny, start talking while I think.
Like a pro stock or something?
Yeah, I got a pro stock agent, and it was so light at first, and then I started using it more and more and got used to it, and I loved it. And then skates, what do I use for skates? Not Bauer. Bauer's always been too. Actually, no, I do use Bauer. I used a Bauer 3S skates, the Supreme, the wired one. So always love that. And then I use like really old gear for the bottoms, like shoulder pads. Like I like the lighter shoulder pads, elbow pads. I've used the same elbow pads since high school. But other than that, I'm rambling a lot. So let's hear what the Division One guy wears.
Yeah, you are. Me, I wear CCM bucket. I love Bauer gloves. Sticks, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm cool with Bauer or CCM. Skates, I've always worn Bauer, but tried CCM on this past weekend. They were pretty comfy, but I haven't gotten my own pair yet. As far as like pants go, I was never really a picky equipment guy. Like I never knew the names of like sticks or names of pants, helmets. Kind of just put on whatever fit felt good and just went with that. But I've been seeing a lot of people use True. I'm interested in trying out True sticks.
Yeah,
I know that's becoming like a more.
I had a
brand.
Gabe Velarde Pro Stock True stick. I loved it. It was the ADV9, really? I think, and it was a great stick. But
you know the product. You know like the names and stuff.
All this shit. Yeah, no, I used to be really into it. I still think the S19 is the best stick of all time. I have one still.
I still have one.
I got one off eBay, but the only thing about it is a non-grip, and it's like I gotta put some tack on or something. It's really bad. But it's interesting you brought up pants before we go to the next question, because I've ordered Pro Stock pants before, and I don't know how those guys wear those clunky ass pants. Like they are big, like clunky around the legs. I like wearing a smaller pant that feels like more form fitting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like I actually watch Vinny Trocheck. He's always got like saggy pants. His
pants
are always
so big.
Dude,
that would bother the shit out of me. I wouldn't be able to cross over.
Yeah. And Hedo, I think, wears smaller pants, but just something. All right, next one, Benjamin Eppel. If Kako doesn't put up points and we need a right wing, can we trade him for Marner? No fucking chance the Leafs
would
do that.
They would never do that, and I don't even...
Yeah, one for one, it's fair for sure.
I mean, they're going to have to do something, though, in Toronto, because Nylander is on fucking fire. And they're going to try. They're definitely going to want to keep him, but they're not going to be able to.
It's his contract year, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Willie Nylander was a lock to go off in Sweden this weekend. I should have bet all his totals, whatever they were.
17 straight games of the point to start the year, guys. Yeah. Money. All right. Next one, Goth Brooks RVA. Great win beating those stinking Devils. What's it going to take to get KK going? Is this going to be all
I feel like that's probably what it's going to be, because with all the good things that have happened so far, he's the one that's like that he's got the light on top of him right now in terms of.
Bro, he has 2 points in 15 games.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough.
And I expect Johnny was like all in on him to fucking beat.
Yeah, I was all in on him. I'm very surprised by that.
He just looks lifeless, honestly. Like he looks like he kind of looks like where Loft looked last year. He's just like losing confidence and not playing with the factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He was so good in the preseason. And I know preseason's different, but he just doesn't even look remotely close to what he looked like there.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I hope he turns around.
All right. This one might be good for Cody. Jackknife 82, if Hedl's out long term, who are some possible trade targets to fill the void? No pun intended.
Honestly, I think they're going to look to their farm system. They don't have, like, if you're putting Hedl on LTIR, I mean, like, long term, I know he's on short term right now, you know, you're saving some money, obviously, but if he's coming back this season, that kind of goes out the window, and like you're not going to have that space to get someone. Like I think at the deadline right now, as it stands, like healthy, they would have around $3 million for a rental.
Who's going to be the number one center trade target this deadline?
Maybe Stamkos,
Elias Lindholm.
Stammer's on the contract year. He didn't get a contract. He was, remember in the offseason, they were talking about how mad he was that he didn't get a contract. That would be if Hedl's out for the year and they put him on LTIR and it frees up all that money, that's my number one target.
He'd probably want to come here too. Wasn't he linked to the Rangers like back in 2011 or something?
Yeah, I wonder. They had a trade done for Stamkos, and it got like someone like nullified it.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah, I would love that.
I know Lindholm's got to be the number one center.
Yo, so Outside of centers, though, did you see that thing about fucking Hanifin that he like wants out? Dude,
Wants out of Calgary.
I would. Oh, my. I have been such a fan of him for so long.
Yeah, but where are you putting him? Who are you trading?
Don't care. He can come on over here and be on that top pair with Foxy. And
so you're getting rid of Lindgren?
Do his thing. Lindgren's on a contract year, bro. How are we paying him? Tell me. How are we paying him? No, I'm not trading Lindgren for Hanifin. I'm just saying if they're going to, you know.
Hanifin's how are we paying Hanifin?
No idea. We'll figure it out. No, I don't know. Anthony Duclair, Tyson Barry. Oh, Hellies. Yeah, I don't know.
I think you go for Stammer. How's he playing this year?
Stammer? I think he's pretty good.
I think, though, Tampa's like underwhelming, right? Tampa's underwhelming. I think Stammer
won yesterday against Edmonton. Stamkos has 6 goals, 12 assists in 16 games.
Yeah. Yeah, I would want that guy on our team if he heals out for the year for sure.
He might be too young, though.
Who? Stammer?
Stamkos?
That was a bad joke, but yeah.
He's 33.
No snaps for Johnny.
All right. That was just too smart of a joke.
It would just be a Rangers move. Like they tried to get him before, they didn't get him, and he's a little bit older in his career, obviously.
I
think he's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, without a doubt.
What? You think he's gonna? All right, that was worse than Johnny's joke.
Yeah,
but
without a doubt. I don't think that was a joke. He was just being.
No, I know. Well,
I was about to say obviously, and then I got skeptical for a second because I know he has the cups, but what's his like? What are his numbers like all time? I'm sure,
dude, he's won a couple like Rocket Richards. What do you mean? He was like the leading scorer in the NHL with Ovechkin.
I'm pretty sure he's had multiple 100-point seasons or like
he put up a 62 goal season, I think, didn't he?
Dude, 100. Here we go. 21-22 had 106 points. 2018-2019 had 98 points. 2017-18 86. Bro, he's had 5 90-plus point seasons, and he put up 60 goals in 11-12.
All right, I just didn't want to. No. I just didn't want to get caught.
He has
like,
over 500 career goals. He's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't want to get caught in like me saying obviously.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Like, that's
you're
fair.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You sound even dumber now.
Well,
no, I don't. Right. I just said I don't. I'm not sure.
But back to Johnny's point, Elias Lindholm would be. Insane. They have no. There's no way they could pay him. But
he's gonna end up in Boston.
That would be crazy. Don't even say that. That would be crazy though. I love that guy.
All right. Next one. Sammy Hockey 36. Is Gustafson the best offseason signing this year over Wheeler and Bonino and Pitlick? 1,000.
Yeah. Not even close.
Not even close, dude. Every time he's, bro. Didn't he make that sick pass yesterday to VC?
Gus had an assist on Panarin's first goal. He gave it to Trocheck. Trocheck across to Panarin.
Yeah,
and that, by the way, that passing was unbelievable. That first power play goal or by Panarin. Yeah. So fucking sick. And now Gustin has a 5-game point streak. He's got 11 points in 15 games. Guys on fire.
Fire.
Gustin definitely the best offseason signing. Not only is Gustin the best offseason signing for the Rangers, he might be the best offseason signing for the entire league. Can you think of a better signing this summer that like has panned out better than Gustin right now?
I was looking right now. I
can't think of anyone.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't. I honestly don't think so.
No one comes to top of my head.
In terms of the value he brings to the Rangers and how much he costs, yes. All right, 100%. Let's keep rolling.
All right, DPAR 518. Who's your ideal right wing trade acquisition at the deadline? Betrano, Tarasenko, Duclair.
Out of those three?
I guess, yeah.
I will go from those three because I don't even know who else like I would be thinking of Betrano. I guess you gotta go Betrano. He played here. He has
17 points in 17 games.
He's obviously on fire. He's had one of the best starts probably to his career and in the league. And yeah, that's a guy who I'd want back for sure. I don't know if they give him up though. They just signed him.
What did he sign? I think a 3-year deal.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 year deal.
Like $5 million per, I think, right?
Yo.
Yeah, he got money. I no,
Or was that Strome? I think Strome might have gotten 5 mil.
I still think Vetrano got like 4. I'll look.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the one better signing than Gustafsson was probably Toffoli, but that's it. For the Devils. Yeah. He has 16 games.
Yeah. Good call. Good call. Should we go to the next one, or are you going to look for that?
He got three-year $10.9 million contract, so that's an AAV of 3.65.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Strome got the $5 million, I think.
Yeah, yeah, Stromer got a little bit more than that.
Another one about right wings. Joseph Poor, 98. Best option for RW1 post-deadline, Wheeler, Kako, other.
I mean, probably.
I want it to be other. Kako.
I want it to be Kako as well.
What you want and what you need are two different things, my boys.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to find his confidence. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go down.
Again, they don't have many. Like, that other is Othman. That's what it is. Because they don't have the money to get somebody of substance on this team post-deadline. They just don't. Unless they're moving somebody else the other way and clearing salary out, there's no moves to be made unless you're getting, like, bottom six guys and depth. And that's – listen, here's the thing. Right now the Rangers are playing lights out. I don't think they need much. Like, getting Fox back and getting Hedo back are going to be two major acquisitions in itself. And then you get the depth pieces with, you know, the $2-3 million you have, or you call Othman up if he's lighting it up, whatever. But I think talking about, like, big names for the Rangers is just, at least to me, like, kind of pointless this season, because they don't have the money to get anybody. Like, they literally just don't. They can't, even if they wanted to. I mean, there's nobody big they can get unless they're throwing guys the other way, which, why would you mess a good thing up that's not broken, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Next one, Avery, is...
Sorry, did Tarasenko sign a big deal, or was it a one-year?
One year, $5 million.
Yeah,
love to Ottawa, get him right? back. Would kill to get him back. He's lighting it up, bro. I have a friend, before you get into the next question, I have a friend who... After every like three games, will text me a screenshot of Goudreau and a screenshot of Vladimir Tarasenko's stats, and he just makes me feel bad.
You know what's funny though, dude? He's not scoring goals. Like, he's playing really well, but he's not I think he only has 2, 3, 4 goals, something like that. But I mean, Tarasenko, yeah. Gaudreau's, I'm sure, shit not talking about Gaudreau. He has like 1 point in 15 games or something like that. He's
Tarasenko
trash.
Has 13 points in 15 games. He's a plus 10.
Three goals,
10 assists.
Yeah. Which is kind of surprising, because you think it'd be vice versa. But Gaudreau, dude, how many more years do we have Gaudreau? 2 after this or 1? It's next year. Next year has got to be his last year, right? It's got
to
be.
Also, just to talk about Duclair, he was the other guy in that question. Duclair has 3 goals, 2 assists in 14 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's
minus 12, but the Sharks also suck.
Gaudreau contract.
He's good buy. He would be like a good buy cheap guy, though.
We signed Gaudreau. Yeah. Oh, my God. In my mind, I just thought we had Gaudreau for 4 years. We signed him for 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Oh, boy. Just kidding. We have Gaudreau until 2027. Bottoms up, boys.
Two-parter, and this one's definitely for Avery. Anthony Governale, 19. I'll say the first one. Been on the laugh train since day one. Shows that all it took was putting him with Panarin in the top six. Yes, good point. Thoughts on Kane being off the table? He really wanted to come back.
Don't care.
I think every report was that the Rangers didn't want to bring him back or couldn't bring him back, correct? I know Emily Kaplan just came out with an article about it, but I haven't really been paying attention to the Kane stuff. Avery, have you seen anything?
I don't believe much of what reporters have on the inside, especially after that Clarissa Thompson stuff. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
that lying was about reports. But what I will say is that regardless of what happens, you just trust what the GM and the ownership think. Like, if they don't want Patrick Kane, you don't get Patrick Kane. But if Patrick Kane wants to come back and the Rangers want him, go get him. But everyone was saying that he was going to sign this week and he didn't. So who knows? Things can change. We could go down another guy. Something could happen. Knock on wood, but things can change. Right now, he has not signed. I still don't think he's going to sign until he really figures out where he wants to go. Maybe next week, maybe the week after. We'll see. But from what I've heard so far is that it's not going to happen, but it still could.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Fuck. Did you guys hear that?
What?
What?
You guys didn't hear that beat?
No.
It's probably outside my apartment. I was just ignoring it. What was next one from Brandman 7694? What impressed you last night?
I think literally everything. I kind of want to talk about the other side of that. I think Igor started the game really shaky and he did not play very well in the first and really played nicely and rebounded in the second and third. I thought both of their first two goals were very soft. And I don't know if you guys agree, but
the second goal was the Palat one in the slot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one,
I feel like he should have had that, man.
Palat's a scorer, though. The Hughes one's much softer. The third goal was the Holla rebound, right? That one could have been more aggressive. But I actually thought what impressed me most, and this was actually not just VZ, but both of VZ's goals, the Rangers made the Devils look lost defensively. The first one, the rebound VZ banged home, like at the doorstep, was I think like Jones to Schneider to Pitlick back to Schneider for a rebound or something. It was like a crazy like little triangle of passing that the Devils were running around looking lost. And then the VZ game winner, Trocheck comes in like a 1-on-3, drops it to Pitlick, who is like somewhat wide open, creeping down the slot. VZ goes right to the goal untouched. And I think it was John Marino who couldn't pick him up, but the Devils looked lost. And the Rangers last year, when they played the Devils, like it was the opposite, right? The Devils were skating circles around the Rangers and the Rangers looked lost in their own end. But the Rangers in their D zone this year, there hasn't been many games where they've been scrambling or panicking or out of position. Like it's been very sound defensively. I think that's one of the bigger differences under Laviolette this year is just the way the Rangers are structurally playing in their own end. And that's leading to all the offense. But both of VZ's goals last night, I thought, were just unbelievable, like tic-tac-toe kind of passing plays that, you know, VZ fortunately is enough to get in front of the net untouched and bury home a rebound.
Well said.
Well said, John.
Thanks, boys.
Johnny.
Next one from BBass98. Should Othman get a 9-game trial?
Why 9 games?
I don't know.
That's the ELC cutoff.
Okay. Yeah, he should absolutely get a trial. Do I think it's going to happen now? No. But what I could see them doing is with about 15 games to go to the deadline, calling Othman up and giving him a couple games, and then sending him back down if he's not lighting it up, and then it won't count against them for the cap, and then they can make a move. So I could see that happening.
Othman has 2 goals, 7 assists in 15 games down in Hartford. So he's not like lighting it up, but he's not doing bad.
I know. But also like in Hartford, Johnny Brodzinski lights it up and then he comes here and puts up stinker after stinker. So who knows?
Yo, how about Gabe Perreault?
I like Johnny Brodzinski. Yeah, Perreault's on fire. He's on fire right now.
Perreault looks like he's the real deal.
Perreault
looks he's just another playmaker, which is great. We need guys to set guys like Mika up. We need Perreault now.
I was just going to say, perfect segue here. Can we talk about Mika for a second, that he's just still not scoring goals? 15 games in, I feel like this is one of the longer stretches of his career without him really like kind of tearing it up. And
no, I was going to say, I saw someone pull up his month-by-month career stats. He has been notorious for not having good Novembers and Septembers and being really good in March, really good in October.
Yeah. I mean, he's not playing bad. He has like 12 points or something like that, but for 10 points.
Sorry, my brain's going crazy right now. Long night last night. But what I will say is, let me find that tweet. You guys talk, but there was specific numbers that showed that Mika March is like very real and he gets hot towards the end of the year.
But this is definitely a slower start for sure.
Yeah.
2 goals in 15 games. But they're not going to demote him. Like the second line's producing. Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know what they're going to do. Should we go into the last one? We got one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Chris is neck deep. How do we stay optimistic without getting too cocky with the great playing we're getting? I'm all for the cockiness and swagger, honestly.
Are we playing cocky, though? Are we playing what? Cocky? I don't think we're playing cocky. I think we're playing confident. I don't think we're
No. I think the fans getting too cocky.
Oh, I mean, yeah, go for it. But it's
I'm 15, all for it. Yeah.
It's 15 games. I mean, we've seen being New York fans, I think across 4 to 5 sports here, we've seen, you know, elite seasons. Avery and I know, as we saw with the Yankees last year, or I guess 2 years ago now, you know, best team of all time in the first half, on pace to break the record, and they finished with 99 wins and played 500 ball the second half. So I wouldn't count our ducks yet before eggs yet before they hatch, but or however count the fuck that ducks. However that saying goes. Now, I was trying to say ducks
count your eggs before they hatch.
I was trying to say keep our ducks in a row, but then I like mixed the two. But
that was hilarious. You know,
yeah. No, I would just stay level headed for now because there's literally so much hockey to still be had. We play Boston on Saturday. That's gonna be a really big game. You know, and I think it's gonna be a really good test for these guys. And it only takes one game to push us back to reality. So I think guys should just keep doing their thing and we should just enjoy this for the ride and, you know, see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
The boys are buzzing. The locker room. Yeah, the boys are buzzing. The locker room feels great. You see it in those videos. I love those videos that the Rangers post the next day. You can tell that the vibes are high. You could even see LaViolette peeking his head in there, getting a laugh in. So it feels great to be in this position. But like Cody said, one loss can set you back to reality. I did find those Mika stats. He is notorious in November for having a slump. 33 games played, 0.79 points per game. Other than that, in every other month, he averages over a point. In October, January, February, March, specifically 68 points in 53 games in his career is his highest. But yeah, he has he's been over a point a game in every other month in his career besides besides November.
Interesting. All right, that wraps it up for fan questions. Do you guys have anything final before we kind of wrap it up? I just want to say, you know, we had a week off of games basically last week. This week, super busy. 4 games in the next 7 days. Monday at Dallas, Wednesday at Pittsburgh, Friday afternoon game, 1 o'clock at Philly, and then back home Saturday, 1 o'clock against the Bruins. Also, Saturday night, BU versus Cornell at MSG right after, which is pretty cool. I think they call it like the Red Hockey or Big Apple Showdown, something like that. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys want to do as far as the second episode this week? Should we? I don't know if we'll be able to do one.
I'm off Wednesday, so I could probably record Wednesday.
Yeah, I could do Wednesday day, but it's only after the Stars game. Like, I feel like we're not going to have much to say after one game. I don't know. Should we just hold on to the whole week and record a Monday episode?
Yeah, we could do that.
Or we could try to book an interview or something just to do like a guest.
We might need to do something, dude. Haven't like I don't know how the Rangers played. I don't know how the Rangers played their game last night. I had a week off of podcasting, and I don't feel sharp right now. I didn't feel like I had a sharp episode. So we might have to throw something in on Wednesday, just a little feel or something, because week off for me on podcasting. Forget how to record an episode
Tuesday?
Yeah, let's go Tuesday. Tuesday's perfect.
All right.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are my days where Tuesday? I
do. What's up?
Don't we play Tuesday?
No, we play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. But we could try to find a guest Tuesday and post the episode Wednesday. Because I feel posting on Thanksgiving is going to be good.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Please hold. I could actually do Tuesday.
All right, we'll figure it out. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Hope everyone has a fantastic Thanksgiving if we don't talk to you before then. Otherwise, Cody, you want to send it off?
Avery, you want to send it off today?
No, because I don't feel sharp. But what I will say is that if you did buy tickets or you are going to the Stadium Series game, hit us up. We should probably do some sort of
Johnny, did you get tickets?
No, I'm trying to get my press pass for that game.
What if we did like a little? What
if I don't get a press pass, I'll try to go.
What if
Avery?
We
did you get tickets?
I'm getting tickets. What if we did a Blue Crew tailgate? What if we did something?
Yo,
that?
That's what I was thinking.
We can do that.
I just didn't say it. So that was my idea. And I think that'd be a pretty cool idea.
Blue Crew tailgate, and we'll get American Whiskey to sponsor it.
Done. We can make that happen easily.
Yeah.
I think that's the play.
Text Kevin right now.
Yep.
I got yo, Avery, get tickets in my section, dude.
I don't know. I just asked my dad to get me 4 tickets.
Oh, you're going with your dad? No, forget it, bro.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. That's cool.
All right, boys. Cody, say it.
LFGR, baby.